following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, turn if you to Romans 10:17. We're going to look at three verses this morning. The Lord quickened something to me yesterday afternoon. I'm trying to get through a couple of series here. But I'm trying also to listen to the Holy Spirit. I have a goal. Doggone it, I'm going to be doggone focused about this goal. You may not like me hammering on it, but we're going to do it. And our goal is I want to see the waters of the Spirit rise to our knees or higher so that the healing power of the Holy Spirit, and we can have a healing conference. Already talking about, I'm shooting for our early fall healing conference. If the anointing isn't here by then, we'll shoot for first part of next year. But we are going to see, I want to see the day when we can throw the doors open and the word will come out, go out, and people will come here because they've heard that this is a place they can be healed of their physical maladies. And that we have a track record. That's my goal. Now, I'm going to hammer on this. And I read an interesting quote today about leadership. And I was reading about Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, of course, is the Apple is now the most admired company in the United States, according to Forbes. It's an incredibly innovative company. They got way out of their buying computers to all kind of realms. The guy is a brilliant, brilliant leader. Steve Jobs is. It's interesting that he doesn't know Jesus. He's a Buddhist, but he has brilliant leadership. You got to look at this guy and say, why is he dominating in every sphere? I mean, he has dominated the music sphere. Everything he touches, cell phone sphere. What is his secret? And there's sometimes leadership principles are applicable in every sphere. And there was something he said that I really liked. He said, leadership, he says, is not always querying people that follow you what they want, which is what politicians do. See, politicians query the people they follow. They hold their finger to the wind. They want to know what direction is the wind blowing, and then they'll say, okay, I'll go there. A leader sees where he's going and calls people to follow. And his comment was that Henry Ford said, you know, the inventor of the Model T, that had he gone to his customers originally and asked them what they wanted, they would have said what they want is a faster horse. Because people, by and large, are limited in their vision. They need a visionary. So Henry Ford didn't listen to his customers, faster horse. He came up with innovation, produced something called the assembly line. I don't know if you know, but the assembly line was actually developed by Henry Ford. That's how his goal was to produce and put an automobile, just like Bill Gates was a computer on every desktop. His goal was to have every American have an automobile. And he said you could have it in any color as long as it's black. So it's interesting that I like reading stuff, something like that, because it helps me understand my role as a leader and your role as a leader wherever God's got you in. As a leader, you have to go in uncharted territory. You need to go where few have gone before. You need to be willing to go, and whether people, you don't need to keep turning around to see if people are following you. You need to go. If you believe Jesus, then go. And then trust that if it's the Lord, people are going to follow. And I have a goal here. And some of y'all may, there are going to be people going to run ahead of me, really got the vision, run alongside of me, run behind me, or not even come at all. Whatever. I've got a goal. God's given me a goal. It's become a passion. It's become a burning, ongoing thing. You're going to hear about this in 08 and 09 and 10. 1-1, whatever, all the way to 27 when Jesus comes back, 29, 27, somewhere in there. Don't hold me to that. And it is this. I want to see the blind eyes open. I want to see the deaf ears heal. I want to see the lame walk. I want to see lengthening of limbs. I want to see demonstrations of power right here. I want it where the miraculous is the normal. casting out of devils. And the reason I want to see that, my real passion is discipleship, mind you, but that brings in people, and then God can draw on the disciples. Very scriptural to do that. That's exactly what Christ did. Amen? A lot of people don't even know they're disciples. They're caught up in the kind of the streams of compromise or error, and they don't even know that. No, they're not anybody calling them to a higher calling, calling them to the cross, calling them to a sacrificial denial lifestyle of overcoming. They've never been exposed to that. So you got to have some power encounters, bring them in. Then they hear the hard word, and they say, that's what I want. That's what I've been looking for, is a hard word that'll allow me to live a crucified life so I can experience life to come. So Romans 10:17, I want to share simply one simple principle this morning you can carry with you. You ready for this title? This is actually the longest title I think I've ever done. I looked in my notes. Poe, you love these long titles. And the title here is, Hear What He Said So You Can Hear What He's Saying. Hear what He Said So You Can Hear What He's Saying. Romans 10:17. Y'all all know this verse. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, here's what I want to lay out. What he's not saying is that you get faith simply by hearing the scripture. If that was true, you could set your tape recorder and just listen to Bible verses all day long and your faith would go through the roof. He's not saying it's just a monotonous hearing of scripture. Rather, it's a key to the lifestyle of the miraculous. Folks, hear me out. This is a key to the lifestyle of the miraculous. You ready? Faith comes how? From hearing. Not heard, hearing. See, what I've learned is it's the rhema word. It's the living word. It's the present word. It's the voice of the Spirit that enables me to do the supernatural. It's that simple. It's not Bible verses. And I think the classic thing, somebody says, will you pray for the sick? We lay hands. Lord, you said in the word, by his stripes I'm healed. The problem with that is, yes, that's true. That's a principle. But we live by principle, but we operate by presence. Because in this particular situation, you could pull a Bible verse out. Yes, by his stripes you're healed, and question me. But in this situation, we need to hear a living word, an applicable word by the Holy Ghost in that time-space continuum, exactly what God wants to do. And that involves faith comes by hearing. You've got to dial down and listen. And that's the gifts of the Spirit. That's the anointing of the Spirit. Whenever you pray for people, well, you've got to learn how to pray. We do not know how to pray as well. The way to pray is shut up and listen. And that is so new. We want to get religious. We want to think, you know, but the best way to pray is, come, Holy Spirit. Lord, come, show me how to pray. And be quiet and listen and pray what you hear. And that's exactly what Christ did. He says, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only speak what I hear the Father saying. And Christ would operate under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and he moved in signs and wonders. And I believe God is always wanting to speak to us, and we just dial down and listen and get out of our head and get into the Spirit. Are y'all with me on that? Faith comes by what? Hearing. Present tense. We got to learn to hear the voice of the Spirit, the releasing of the gifts, the momentary anointings. Now that's the first thing. This verse has two parts to it. Faith comes by hearing. In fact, it's applicable in every area of your life. It comes to me. Many a time when we're worshiping, and I'm standing over here in our worship services, I'm listening. Because I may have prepared something but to share that day. But I'm standing over there listening because faith comes by hearing. Because a lot of times, right through the context of something, I'm hearing the voice of the Spirit, and I'm going, oh, and you may see me. I'll pull out my pen. I'm kind of doing it surreptitiously so you can't see it. I'm writing things down because I'm hearing. And that's the word, because somebody walked in, and then, I don't know how this works. An angel says, got a little microphone. So-and-so walked in. A demon walked in with him, you know. The Spirit of the Lord speaks to me and says, well, you need to deal with that. And he tweaks my word. Do you understand what I'm saying? A preacher that offers a word in due season is not going to go up there with some cookie boilerplate sermon. He's going to be offer something like fresh bread out of the oven. I like fresh bread. Amen? We used to have a bread maker. Oh, that smell. Fresh bread maker. Man, few things as nice as that. I used to live in the East End. For 17 years, I lived in the East End of Houston. And I had a house on Bell Street, and it was situated between Rainbow Bakery and the Maxwell Coffee House. And in the morning, I tell you, you'd smell the bread and the coffee. Just it was great. I'm not going to tell you what I smell now, but here it is. All right. Y'all got that down. Y'all have that down. Faith comes by hearing. Now, listen, you're going to see something in this verse you've never seen before. Listen, you ready? How do I sharpen my hearing? How do I develop the capacity to hear and recognize it's the voice of the Spirit? That's the B part of the verse. You ready? Look, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God. There's Friday's sermon. Friday, I did a sermon titled Learning, Knowing, and Loving God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, but hearing by the Word of God. See, it's as you soak, immerse, drink in, and feed on God's Word. Reorient your thinking. Love the Word. Read the Word. Memorize the Word. Embrace the Word. Meditate on the Word. And one thing I shared Friday is I got a hold of some Chuck Missler teachings on the internet. I never heard this guy before. And he's a brilliant physicist teaching from Genesis. You get my email? Gene asked me where they, I found a place where they're free on the web. I download them on my iPod. I've been listening. I'm telling you, the guy spent 3 hours just getting through Genesis 1 and 2. Spent 40 minutes on the gap theory between verse 1 and verse 2. Brilliant man in the Word. I've enjoyed it. He's got an Esther series on there I just can't wait to listen to. God's been he taught these things in the late 70s. That's how old these are, but the Word is timeless. I've been drinking in the Word lately. Every time I do my commute, I'm listening to the Word. I listen to two or three other iPod. I listened to another one this morning, just coming up here. And what's happening, because I've been drinking in the Word, when I'm driving, I'm listening to the Word. I mean, I'm just driving across. He's given a new revelation about something in Genesis, the latter part of he fascinating revelation about the angel that held the sword, the two cherubim, to guard the way to the tree of life. He said that's not what's in the original at all. He began to develop the original is hidden in the translation, has nothing to do with what we think. That actually the Shekinah glory was there with the two cherubim, and that was possibly the very place to guard the way to the tree of life, and possibly where Cain and Abel went to offer their sacrifices. And he went on and on there, and I went, whoa, does that give a whole new perspective of the tabernacle and everything? The Word of God is rich and full and true, and I will learn, as I listen to the Word, faith comes by hearing, but hearing by the Word. If you love the Word, guys, then you're more attuned to the Word. You understand? If you love the Logos, the Rhema comes quicker. Am I making sense? I know you're out there. If you sit there and you eat ashes for bread, as it says in Psalm 102, if you fill your mind with a bunch of secular humanistic stuff, good and interesting and fascinating, though it may be, and trust me, I like to read about stuff, and that predominates your mind, you are not going to be tuned to hear the quickened Word. But if you love the Word, and I'm telling you, trying to speak to the Luddites out there, the technological draggers, there is enough technology out there today, and you say, well, listen, if you resist technology, aren't you glad for technology? Look at the light bulb. I mean, we live in a culture, you really want to come up to snuff with the technology. There is a certain sect in Pennsylvania that refuses to move in technology, called the Amish. They're the only ones that would have been good had Y2K been a mess. But they're way behind the eight ball. There's nothing wrong with staying up. And there are ways in which you can utilize technology out for God's Word and to hear the Word. And there is so much good stuff out there that's so available for free. What I love about the way I burn it down on my iPod, I literally get in the car, turn the ignition on. It's a touch. I just touch the thing twice with my thumb. I'm instantly listening to teachings. To me, it's got to be simple. Ephesians 5:25, two places. So does that make sense? Faith comes by hearing, but hearing by the Word of God. If you want to sharpen your ability to hear, to move in signs and wonders, to pray for the sick, folks, love the Word. Embrace the Word, because the Word provides a place for the Holy Ghost to quicken something in your mind. And the problem is the mind. Ephesians 5:25 tells us that. This is the problem. It's your head. Your head. You need to feed your head. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, look at this, with the washing of water by the word. Did you know that reading the word, meditating the word, being disciplined in the word, like I was talking about reading the one-year Bible, loving the word, is like taking a clean hot shower. You feel scrubbed inside, fresh, clean. As your mind thinks on the kingdom of God, you're open to invasions by the kingdom of God. The problem is if many of us, if you allow the seductions of television and movies and constant things of the world to penetrate and predominantly rule your mind, folks, you're going to be oblivious to God's kingdom quickening. And along that line, let's look at the last verse we're going to look at this morning that speaks to that, Romans 12:1. I told you, just three places. Romans 12:1, he appeals to us as believers. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. I think there's one version that reads, don't be squeezed in the world's mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Folks, I'm going to tell you, you've got to separate from the world to be released in the kingdom of God. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There's an enormous stream of Antichrist flowing in the world constantly. Satan does everything to prevent you. He does not want you moving in signs and wonders. He does not want you walking through your fear and praying for those sick and hurting people around you and moving in the gifts. He's going to throw everything, fear of man, rejection, poor me, distraction, self-pity, pride, whatever, to distract you from doing the simple thing which Jesus called you to do, to love your neighbor as yourself. One thing that helps me is when you see someone and you're kind of fearful, think about if it was you. Just put yourself in their shoes. Suppose you were sick. What if you were sick or infirmed or ill or hurt? Would you appreciate someone coming up, a stranger, and say, hey, I sure would like to pray for you? Man, that would make your day. It'd blow you away. See? Do unto others as you'd have them what? The problem is we're in a warfare, folks, and the warfare is the mind. And you will know and move in the will of God as you submit to the process of the renewing of the mind. That's really what he says. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind that you may know the will of God. Prove the will of God. The literal rendering of this verse is, you can prove God's will as your mind is renewed. God wants to renew the mind. The problem is our mind is the battleground of the devil. It's a transforming of the mind. The word renews your mind. We're upside down. The word of God, kingdom of God, the word of God, sitting under the word, loving the word, enables your mind to be reoriented in the kingdom way. There are two ways to renew your mind. One is to sit under the anointed ministry of the word, and the second way is to feed yourself. I was saying this Friday, if the only time you crack your Bible is in church, folks, you're missing it. You know, you ever heard the thing, it's better to teach a man to fish than give him fish? See, my goal really is to kind of whet your appetite, to encourage you to learn the word, to show you, point out things, so you can go out and feed yourself. You know, when I was part of the renewal at Church of the Redeemer in the early to mid-70s, mid to late 70s, early 80s, it was a phenomenal anointed move of God for those times. It was probably one of the most significant phenomena manifestations of the kingdom in North America. I say that without any abbreviation because there were people from all over the world came to see and experience. It was an amazing experience to be at the Redeemer in mid-50s, mid-70s, and to know I was really in the epicenter of what the Spirit was doing in the charismatic movement. It was an amazing blessing. People from all over the world coming to see what we were experiencing living. And it was a phenomenal thing. And in the early days of that charismatic move, they were very orthodox. It was an Episcopal church. People brought their Bibles. A lot of the ministers, just they taught good, sound, fundamental, hardcore, biblical, foundational truth. I loved it. The elders would teach. I remember I still have some notes. I remember an elder taught on anger once. I wrote it down. I still have those old notes. I've done booklets and taught on that for years, decades. All started that day, like in 76, an elder taught on anger. Going through the Proverbs. And I went, whoa, I had no idea there was so much in the Word on that. But what I watched that work do over the years as the 70s began to progress, went back to college and I was still in community. I moved out of a communal household, but I began to notice that things began to come through. Psychology began to rear its ugly head. Well, there was one particular fellow that came to the church and he brought in a psycho and he was into Carl Jung. And he began to have an ear to the pastor. Got to be his friend. And the pastor, by early 80s, began to share things about consciousness and weird things from the pulpit that had tinges of New Age. I started my Bible study in the summer of 81 as a reaction to the fact that kids, a lot of the young people in the church, were going to other churches to hear the Word. They didn't want to leave Redeemer. They loved it. But they had to go to other places to hear the Bible. And it was in a swimming pool on a Sunday afternoon at a big home on McGregor Way. We were all swimming. A couple of them were talking about they were going to go to this church to hear the Word that afternoon, that evening. Believe it or not, they were going to Lakewood to hear the Word. Back then, you could hear the Word. It wasn't an idle thing. I remember standing in that swimming pool, turning to my friend named Don Kennedy, and I said, you know, I used to teach the Word. It'd been 7. I said, why don't we have a Bible study? And, you know, maybe I could still do that. Sure. That next day, that Monday night, we met at my house on Park Street, tape number one. Pushed my little tape recorder, and my first sermon was called The Word. And you can listen, I still have it. You can listen. I was halfway through, and the anointing fell on me. Whoa. I mean, I felt that anointing, and everybody else felt it. So we decided to get together next Monday night. And next Monday night, next Monday night, next Monday. One thing led to another. Here we are. You know, the sad thing is, guys, listen, because that church lost its mooring in the Word, when people drift away, they got into weirdness. And I know I've kept trying. They got into the New Age. Some, there were people that were believing that maybe homosexuality is an option in my walk. I'm telling you, it got weird. The psychology, the New Age, I mean, it got it. Why? Because it got away from the basics, man. The fundamental. In fact, near the end of my tenure there, the pastor I got was labeled the fundamentalist. Because then I was walking around casting devils out of people, and they called me the fundamentalist because I didn't believe in extra biblical revelation, things beyond the Bible, new improved truth. No. If it doesn't line up with Bible! Amen? Emily, you know how to witness to people? You get you a big one, man. Go to school. Do you kids, you know anybody that's just hard-headed and won't get saved? You do? Get you a big one that kind of flops like that? Can I show you? Bam! Repent! Okay. Hit him with the Bible. Hey, huh? You got to have a floppy one. See, it's got to have that give to it. See, the pop. Yeah. Hey, guys, I'm teasing with it. I'm teasing with you. Listen, the Bible is, I don't care you call me fundamentalist. If God said it, I believe it. That settles it. Somebody said, no, if God said it, that settles it whether you believe it or not. You know what? You must be detoxed from the world's view. Detoxed. Some of us are addicted to the world. You go through detox. You got to be... You know what detox is? Somebody... I had a fellow here not long ago. He called me the other day. Who was it? Cocaine. Just saw me on a TV show. Said, man, you're going on about this cocaine. You know, I can't get off. I know Jesus, I love Jesus, and he does cocaine. And I was very blunt with the fella. I said, well, sir, the only way you're going to get free from cocaine is you have to have a 100% total, absolute, complete withdrawal from your entire world life and everything. And I suggested Teen Challenge. And there's another work right over here in Llano. What's the name of that thing? Victory Outreach. And in fact, I gave him the address and I told him to call him. I said, unfortunately, we don't have that kind of ministry. But you need to be separated from so you can get free. Folks, that's how the world is for a lot of us. The world view. We forget we're strangers. We're here to bring the kingdom. We live in heavenly places. Our job is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. This week, going into this week, you got a job. Kids, adults, teenagers, you got a job. Your job is to bring the heaven to earth, to bring the kingdom here. How? As the Holy Ghost provides opportunity. And how? By hearing and doing. That's it. No law, no legalism. No, you need to witness to so many people and put marks in your Bible. You know? Literally, people who go out and they witness and they make a mark in their Bible for everybody to get saved. You know? No. It's walk in the Spirit. As you live in the kingdom of God and you dwell in the Word, your mind is renewed. The result is you walk around knowing and doing God's will. And here it is. As you hear what He said, here's the title. As you hear what He said, you can hear what He's saying. You hear? Understand the title now. As you hear what He said, as you love what He said, this is the principles. You got to get the principles in your spirit. Because if you don't hear what He's saying, you can default to the principles. But we live by what He's saying. It's Logos and Rhema. We hear what He said. You love the Word. Jesus Christ knew the Word, for crying out loud. He quoted it. He's dying. Psalm 69, Psalm 22, and Psalm 31 show what Jesus was quoting Scripture in agony. He was quoting Scripture. At 12 years old, He was arguing Scripture with the religious leaders. Almost everything He did was Scripture. I mean, little nuances. So I even found one today. Remember when it was in today's morning Bible reading in the one-year Bible. Wasn't today where Joshua ran out and said, Lord, the Spirit of the Lord has fallen on some of the prophets. How many of you read the one-year Bible today? Do you remember that passage? And He said, do you envy for my sake, Joshua? Would God that all of God's Spirit people were prophets. Well, if you look at the reference, one of Christ's disciples came up to Him and said, Lord, somebody's casting out demons in Thy name. Forbid him. Exactly what Joshua said. And Christ basically, and I said, whoa, man, even His disciples were walking out Scripture. So where are we going from here, guys? Can you make a commitment to God's Word? I'm going to be honest with you. If you spend more time a day allowing the things of the world to come into your eye gate and your ear gate than God's Word, and you wonder why you have so many problems in the flesh. The problem is not demons. Demons are just flies that fly around the garbage. The problem is the garbage. And I'm going to tell you a practical way. A lot of us, you know, I read the Word in the morning, I read it through the day as I have opportunity, but a lot of us are preoccupied with a lot of things all day long. I'm telling you, a practical way is there's a way, there's resources to where you can hear good, solid teaching. When you get in the car, we call it classroom in the car. Let's pray. Jesus. Lord, I pray You'd bring wisdom to us. Jesus. We would walk this thing out. We would flesh it out. I pray for this week, Jesus, that You would open our eyes. Jesus. Jesus. Put your hand on your eyes. Or just touch your eyes like this. However you want to do it, just put your hand on your eyes. I think this is kind of line of what you were hearing. Put your hand on your eyes. And say this after me. Jesus, close my eyes, shut them hard, and convict me strong for the evil things and the dark things that I look at and am tempted to see. Open my eyes. Open them wide. To the things of the kingdom, the glory of the Lord, and the opportunities You bring my way. Sharpen my eyes to see the hurting, needy, quicken my discernment, Give me eagle eyes to affect your will in my life this week. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Now let's give him thanks. Jesus. 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 Lord, we want to consecrate our eyes to you. We consecrate our mind to you, Lord. Renew our mind, Jesus. Be filled with the will of the Lord to be about the business of the Father. Jesus.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.